the subject which in this moment is the most, as far as I'm concerned as a devotee of Krishna, the most interesting subject. Those who have been to my lectures previously in Germany, they have heard me talking about this subject at various occasions, and I really feel that this subject is so important because it addresses the question from yesterday in a very positive and inspiring way. How can we remain Krishna's devotees for the rest of our lives and go back to God, to Krishna? I think after such a festival, we feel a new strength in our spiritual life, a new type of commitment also, and very small insights. I'm aware that such a festival is quite intense. Yesterday I was talking to Mangala about the festival, and both of us came to the conclusion that if we really have to say at this moment what was happening in the festival, we would be a little bit at a loss of words because we are simply overwhelmed. How to say it? There are so many small things, and we have to now find some time to sit down and digest Hare Krishna. Look at the notes which we have made in our hearts and maybe on the paper, and maybe listen to some of the lectures or excerpts of the lectures, and so on. But I think we all feel, next to our physical and mental exhaustion, modern day, I want to advance in Krishna consciousness. Somehow, the train is going and I'm standing still on the platform. This must be changed for the better. So, subject of today's class is shaking in the face of surrender. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation. Unlike devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus I pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities, such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga, being extremely subtle. He is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited. He is the original cause, and He is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto Him. I will read to you the purport in a moment, but I've forgotten to tell you in which contents you can see and understand this present verse. It is a verse spoken by Gajendra, the king of elephants, who was a great devotee in his previous life. Due to a terrible Vaishnava apparat which he made, he was condemned to take the birth in the dull and groovy tail or gross body of an elephant. However, because he was such an exceptional devotee, his past Vaishnava life was not totally covered over. Yes. When he came in danger, into a life-threatening situation where a crocodile attacked him while he was bathing. He remembered by this shock, which is due to this attack of the crocodile, he remembered his previous life as a devotee and started to pray the prayers which he had chanted as a devotee. And one of the prayers is this one. You will hear it again in a moment, but now let us go to this extremely relevant purport. Anya bilashita shunyam vyanakamadhyana vritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruits of activities of philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Gajendra, the king of the elephant, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes, when there is no alternative, a pure devotee, being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, prays for some benediction. But in such a prayer, there is also regret. I'm sorry. One who all these years and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform on which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benefits. Unless one is a completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy the transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by chanting, hearing and dancing in ecstasy. This is Bhakti Yoga. Yesterday, after the wonderful concert and wonderful kirtan, I was thinking about this. At one stage, whatever was left of the balcony after we started our kirtan, at one stage they all came down and joined in the fun. They were sufficiently purified so that they could also adopt the simple process of Bhakti Yoga, which is chanting, hearing and dancing in ecstasy. Now, therefore, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to the fallen souls who have no heritage of anything in spiritual life. Yes. But he expresses that usually it takes a long time to go back home, back to Godhead. But he says, there's hope. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though we have no heritage, no inheritance, that means practically not much Agyata Sukriti, that is spiritual heritage. Only, although this is the case, also we can actually get this benediction to go back to Godhead. That is actually being seen in the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the path of Bhakti Yoga is the spotless process by which to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktyaham ekaya kraya. Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. The Lord says this in Bhagavad Gita. Maya shaktam, maya shaktam anatata. Yogam yunyam madashaya. Asam shayam samakram yatavyasya sitakshinu. Now hear, O son of Prita, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga and full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness and by thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna constantly, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Very wonderful. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astakyari Satarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Let us please listen again to the verse. In this verse you will find two moods, the moods of the total, the unalloyed, the pure devotee, and the mood of a devotee who is not totally pure, but who is nevertheless extremely dear to Krishna. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious, that they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus I pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, He is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. It's not for an external person. He is unlimited. He is the original cause, and He is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto Him. This verse is so wonderful. It is explaining us the situation of all of us in this world. We are covered souls, covered by the body and the mind. It is difficult for us to be what is called an authentic spiritualist, because the forces of our previous impressions, our samskaras, which are the material nature put into our mind and personality, are causing us to go here and there, and sometimes even wander off the strict path of surrender to Krishna. The conditioned soul has these two natures. The German poet Goethe said, "Oh, two souls are residing in my chest. The one is a god and takes me in this spiritual path, and the other causes me frustration. And this is a very bold interpretation of Goethe, by the way. He only said the thing of the two souls. this situation of being, unfortunately, sometimes in two minds, is causing the devotee some problem, and it needs to be addressed in a mature way so that we can make use this disadvantage which we have to our own advancement. See, as long as one is covered by the material energy, surrender to the Lord is simply not natural for us. We don't like it. It doesn't flow out of our natural way of life. Sense gratification and rebellion against Krishna is natural. Jagannatha Pandit expressed that the mind is an instrument to forget Krishna. This is an interesting situation for a devotee. The devotee has heard from authority and he is convinced by his own spiritual development that surrender to Krishna is what he should do. At the same time, however, there is a very strong pull from the body and the mind, which goes exactly in the opposite direction. I wish to give you an example of this, which is a little humorously. It is from my own childhood. When I was a child, my rich parents would only give me very little money, because they understood that money can spoil a child and he can fulfill all his desires. And I once asked them, why you are so rich? All my friends from poor families get so much money and I only get 5 marks per month. 5 marks, that's not much. For a boy who has many ideas of sense gratification in the mind. My parents said, when you are older, you will know. In this world, you don't get nothing for free, son. And if you are spoiled in your childhood, you will not be able to work. So therefore, 5 marks, that's all. Hari Bol. No, they didn't say Hari Bol. So after 1 year of intense saving from these 5 marks, I finally had 11 marks I had saved. It took me 1 year. And with these 11 marks, I went to an auction where a Hamburg lost and found office. It's where all the things which are left on the streets of Hamburg because someone forgets them, are there. Now I have to ask for a Veronica. Auktioniert. Auction. Auction. You know. And there was a bicycle in which I immediately fell in love with. It was a red bicycle. I remember it. It had a very avant-gardistic way how to move it, see it through the world. And when I saw it, then the auctioneer brought it into my perspective, I was totally attached to it. And then they said, okay, this bicycle was found. We start with 5 marks. Who wants to buy it? I was in it. Then someone said 6 marks. No. Then someone said 7 marks. No. Someone said 8 marks. I waited very carefully. And then I said, 10 marks 50. So this was too much jump for the rest of the crowd. And they were turning around. No, I said, I increase it to 10 marks 75. Then they looked. They saw that we can't beat this person. Then I said, yes, you are right. I increase it even more, although no one dares to bet against me. 11 marks. And the auction is 11 miles for the first. I was sweating with anxiety for the second, and bang for the third, and I had my bicycle. How happy I was. I was driving home. I didn't go with the train. I was prepared to drive the whole way. This was 20 kilometers to my home. I come with the train, but I was prepared. So, and with joy, I lifted my hands from the bicycle. There's a steering procedure. Then immediately this foolish bicycle went to the left side and I fell into the ditch.
Oh.
There was a problem with this bicycle. You know, the fork which holds the wheel was twisted slightly, and therefore the bicycle had a tendency to go left. And this tendency became stronger. When I finally arrived at the place where I lived, it was so strong I had to virtually fight with all my muscles to keep it on the path. And it was repaired, but it never really made it into a decent bicycle. It was always a very, very individualistic bicycle with its own mind where to go. And you could never go take the hands off the thing and enjoy a free ride with the hands raised up. It was not possible. It was a disadvantage, but I loved it anyways. This is a good example of our situation in the world. As long as we have this conditioned nature, there will be always a strong tendency to go to the material world, to go into rebellion against spiritual authority, against the instructions from Guru and Krishna, to develop one's own mind separate from the instructions of the scriptures. It is natural. It's not something which we can condemn or should be very, very harsh about. It's a natural tendency. Because remember, surrender is unnatural for the conditioned soul. Our mind and senses are made to enjoy the material energy because we want it. We wanted such a thing, such a vehicle. We have it now. In such a time, we have to be very careful and aware and conscious of Maya. It's not so easy for us to take our hands off this feeling. The moment we go, we might come into the ditch because of that conditioned tendency within our nature. We might come to fall. Srila Prabhupada once made an assessment of his devotees, and he very lovingly said to us, "My only criticism of my disciples is that they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya." He said, you take your hands off the steering wheel too often. It goes somewhere. Sometimes we can catch it. And you know, just go in the air. But sometimes it's too late and we do something which we regret later from a spiritual perspective. So, although we know by experience, I'm addressing now a crowd of devotees, that we know by experience, get this thought. Although we know by experience that material life is miserable, most of us are here because of this strong realization. Somehow, by our conditioned nature, we are again and again pulled back into compromise and we go to the material energy. This is express in the prayers of the Prachetas, who say like this. Dear Lord, we conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily conception of life. We therefore always prefer the miserable conditions of material existence. We somehow like the misery. To deliver us from these miserable conditions, you have advented yourself in the strengthening of form. You might say, no, Sachinandan Swami, JK, stop with this lecture, don't talk like this, I don't like misery, I like enjoyment. This verse is simply unrealistic. It says something which is not true. It says, we like misery. My dear devotees, although I know it's hard to swallow this, but listen to this example from demoniac science. Once there was a demoniac scientist who wanted to find out why it is so that people cannot change a situation which they have seen as miserable, but why they go on. For instance, in a marriage which is where husband and wife slaughter each other each morning and each evening. This is in the material world. Or they go to overcrowded touristic spots where they just suffer in the sun. Or they go to, you know, cosmetic treatments where they peel off the whole skin and so on. And you know, he wanted to understand why this is so, and he made an experiment. He took a pot and started to heat up the water to almost boiling point, and then threw a frog into the pot. The frog was really too hot and immediately jumped out into liberty, it is freedom. Then the same scientist took like a pen, how do you say a pen? Is it a pen? And a palette in German. Tikalje. Pen. Tala. Tava. Tava kara kamala varu. He took a tava and in it created a mud paradise, you know, with nice imitation plants, an island, and a little umbrella there for the frog. And he put the frog in there. It was cool and a little chilly in the beginning. The frog was... Then he slowly, how comes the demoniac part of it, increased the heat. Became a little warm for the frog. But he had his little mud island, and he went on the mud island under the umbrella. And, you know, it was becoming slowly, hotter, and he thought, oh, wow, this is an island, it's really too hot, I will take a bath now. And he went into the water which was slowly heating up. He was bathing. Oh, it must be very cool here. And also it's very nice. And there's a nice island. And an umbrella. And then he died. It was too hot. So, because the frog was in his comfort zone, something which, you know, it was a mud paradise, ein Sumpfparadies, he did not leave the miserable circumstance until he finally was dead. rebirth. This is the demonic scientific experiment. But sometimes this experiment is very true to us also. We prefer to stay in our mud-like comfort zone, and although we have ample indications that this is not really a blissful life of full bliss and knowledge, we are satisfied the way it is, because we have our little this and our little that, and so on. Now Krishna, who sees this situation of his devotee, does often something which is meant to shake us and awake us. He appears in our lives as the best of thieves. What he steals is our misery to which we are attached. And he does something that he takes away all of a sudden our... It can happen that our marriage partner disappears. It can happen that our fortune disappears. In a devotee life, it can happen that our good name is destroyed for some time. It can happen that we get into troubles with the persons we love most, in our own families, and so on. He takes away things as the best of thieves. There is an ancient prayer by an unknown Vaishnava author, which is so moving that one almost wants to cry in ecstasy. Braje prasidam navanita chauram gopanga nanam chadukula chauram amika janmajita papa chauram chaura graganyam purusham namami. I offer my obeisances to that foremost of thieves, who's famous in Braj as the butter thief, and who steals the gopis' clothes, and who, for those who take shelter of him, steals the sins which have accrued over many lifetimes. Oh, I offer my obeisances to that foremost of thieves, who steals Srimati Radhika's heart, who steals the dark luster. This is the dark luster. This is the siam color, a tree. Who steals the dark luster of a fresh rain cloud, and who steals all the sins and also sufferings of those who take shelter of his feet. Now, listen how he does this. Akinchani kritya padashitamya karoti bhikshum. Bhikshum means beggar. Pati dehayanam kenapyaho. Aho means heavy. Bhishana chaurai drit drishta shrutova najagattayepi. He turns his surrendered devotees into beggars and wandering homeless paupers, poor men and women. Aho! Such a fearsome thief has never been seen or heard of in all the three worlds. And then the devotee gets in ecstasy. He says, hey, thief! You have stolen everything from me, my honor, my senses, and my very life. But where can you run? I have caught you now with the rope of my devotion. You cut the terrible noose, noose means rope, of Yamaraj. You sever the dreadful noose, noose is what criminals hang upon. On the gallows pole. Gallows pole. Yeah. You sever that noose of material existence and you slash everyone's material bondage, but you are unable to cut the knot fastened by your own loving devotees. O stealer of my everything, hey thief, labdasya hey chora, hare chiraya, hey thief, I have imprisoned you in the miserable prison house of my heart, which is very fearful due to the darkness of my ignorance. And there, for a very long time, you will have to remain receiving appropriate punishment for your crimes of thievery. Then he ends. It's a loving, loving poem. It ends in a very loving way. Kada kreva sa sada kreda ye madye madbhakti pasha tita bandana nishalasan tvam krishna he pralaya koti shantareti sarvasya chora vidayanna imochayami. O Krishna, thief of my everything, the noose of my devotion remaining forever tied, you will continue to reside in the prison house of my heart, because I will not release you for millions of aeons. And there's some very good information. This ashtaka is recited in the poetic method known as Upajati. So, yes. Lord, the Lord understands our situation, that we are like frogs in our boiling comfort zones, and that it is difficult for us to overcome our conditioned nature and surrender to Him totally. And therefore He helps, but He only helps with those devotees who really wish to obtain Him. And He helps by stealing. Everything goes away. Now my eyes go away, which is a very difficult situation for me, because I really don't want to surrender to this. I can lose everything, but not my eyes. I want to read properly, not the painful thing on the nose. Krishna, He takes everything away. Good, let the eyes go away. Also, then I will hear tapes. Anyways, I'm lamenting like an old man. Obviously, at one stage you can get glasses and you can see like an eagle with glasses and so on. Krishna has taken more significant things away. He has taken away my illusion that you can be happy in this material world. He has taken away some of my mountain of pride. And I know some of my karma has been taken away. It's very nice. Otherwise, who would ever think of surrendering to Krishna if you think everything is alright in the material field? The devotees pray, Janmaishvaya Shuta Shridhir Edamana Madhapumam Naivat Abhidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. O Lord, only the materially exhausted people can turn to You with deep sincerity. Those who are blinded by physical beauty, by lots of learning, by wealth, and by good aristocratic birth, they cannot turn to You with this utmost deep sincerity. This verse tells us in an almost unheard way that material success is not desired by a devotee. Material beauty, material good birth, and even a lot of knowledge can be dangerous for a devotee, because it can take his attention and attraction away, and he will maybe not have that sincere feeling. He should We should have compassion to the rich people of the world, not envy. We should have compassion to the successful people in this world. We should pray for them that despite their success, they can be successful. There was a monk in the medieval time from a very rich background who, Saint Franciscus of Assisi, who thought, the poorer I am, the better. Then I'm close to surrendering to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Nadanam, I don't want wealth. Najanam, I don't want followers. Nasundarim, I don't want beautiful ladies and beautiful men for the ladies. Kavitam, I don't want scholarship. All I want is service. He has said, our Lord has said. This minus logic, material energy, we want minus of the material energy, we want plus of the spiritual riches, which is devotion and bhakti in our heart. A devotee who has bhakti and devotion in his heart, he can also be surrounded with lots of wealth, but it will not disturb him. But a young devotee might sometimes become tied down by this. Okay, so Krishna sees it, and Krishna makes arrangements so that his devotee is successful in his or her way back home, back to Godhead. He is so grateful for every little bit of devotion. When he sees the devotion of his devotees, even if it is a little bit only, he is immediately attracted. Therefore his devotion is sometimes compared with honey, and Krishna with Madhusudan, the honey-like person. He goes to the honey. Yes. Hare Krishna. Good. Now, but even if Krishna has taken something away from us, it still will be difficult at times to surrender to him. The example is Arjuna. Arjuna was carefully prepared by the Lord to fight the battle against adharma, irreligiousness. He was hand-picked and chosen to be the general of the instrument. The Lord had also prepared him by transcendental thievery. He had taken everything away from him, not only the kingdom, but also his good name. You know, do you know how the Pandavas lost everything? They were humiliated. Their wife, their beloved wife Draupadi was stripped in the public assembly. Now the Pandavas are not weak men, but they could not do anything at that moment. They were next to dying. Bhima was like a son. He was just crying. Yudhishthira said, "No, Bhima, no, no." Bhima was ready to annihilate the universe. He could have done it. He was so angry. And everyone went to the Pandava. Look at it. It was the worst thing which can happen. We would have died. We would have, for the rest of our lives, would have gone into psychotherapy without even a shadow of success. It was so heavy what was done to the Pandava. It was a brokenness. Then they left, lost the king. The kingdom was lost already. The honor was lost. They were seen as weak men who couldn't protect their wife. And then they had to go in the thing. So Krishna had done his mercy treatment to a degree which no ordinary devotee could survive. But still, when it came to the point of fighting surrendering to Krishna's order to fight the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna couldn't do it. I'm reminded of our glorious Sankirtan devotees who have been, who leave the Sankirtan van, and they are already, the books are there, the instructions. Manidhar Prabhu has given a first-class lecture, which one he has heard on the tape recorder. And now it's time to distribute the Knigovsky, the books. But we can't do it. We run away from the battlefield unsuccessful, in disgrace. Like, I always went into the churches to cry when I couldn't surrender. Hare Krishna. So, it is a dilemma. Let us study for a moment to really highlight this point. What was Arjuna's problem? Someone said, well, the problem was he saw all his relatives on the other side, and who can fight against his relatives? But this was not the problem. Arjuna, half a year ago, had fought with his guru and his relatives. Listen, in the last part of the exile, when Arjuna stayed in the kingdom of Virata, then Arjuna he was in disguise, and the Kauravas had decided to steal the cows of the king Virata. And there was lots of cows. They all took the cows, and they wanted to... Prince, this cannot go on. Let's go. You will fight, I will be your charioteer. And the prince Uttara had, in his childish estimation of the situation, said, yes! If you encourage me like this, I will go. And they took a chariot. And then Uttara Kumar saw the whole army of the Kauravas, led by Dronacharya and Bhishma and Duryodhana. He said, I'm not crazy. And he immediately ran. Arjuna, you have brought me to difficult situation. He said, pronounce it all right, take the cows. He wanted to go, but Arjuna said, no, you don't want to fight. I will fight you on my charioteer. I'm not crazy, said Arjuna, and started to run. But Arjuna ran from the chariot. And the mighty warrior saw how there was a lady. Or was it a lady? Extremely strong, that lady. How he ran behind the warrior, captured him by the hair, looked into his face, so that the warrior almost was burnt in flames, and brought him back to the chariot, and then the chariot disappeared. I didn't understand what had happened. Arjuna said to the Tarakuma, okay, you do what I say, then there will be no misery for you. Just be calm, go to that tree over there. Chariot went. Arjuna said, climb up there and see what is up there. It looks like a corpse, like a dead man. Bring this down to me. Bring it down now. He climbed up. And he almost fell down from the tree. It was so heavy. But he felt an influence. This was not a corpse. And Uttara Kumar put it before Arjuna, and Arjuna just cut the corpse open and took out a Gandiva bow. It was his own bow. Uttara Kumar saw the Gandiva bow. It was so strong it spread light for a considerable distance. Uttara Kumar, I don't understand anything, but just tell me what to do now. Arjuna said to his back on the field. And then they all saw the chariot was turning around. It was coming on the field. It was a long distance. And then all of a sudden, they saw that warrior just pointing. And the next thing which happened is two arrows went into the ground just before the feet of Dronacharya. Dronacharya said, oh, You're in trouble. Oh, this was a terrible mistake. The next thing, Bhishma heard two arrows. And when it went, he heard in the noise, "May I fight with you, grandfather?" And Bhishma said, "Oh, no, what a mistake. All right then, fight, Arjuna." And then the next thing they knew, they heard the conch of Arjuna. And then the Arjuna started. He had 13 years of anger in his blood. His arrows were coming so quick. It was coming like a cloud. And it shot all the barriers. They just started to battle the arrows of Arjuna. It was not possible. They seemed to be anger personified. And they went like angry snakes into the hearts of the warriors. Finally, they just ran away from the battlefield. The Tarakuma was thinking, "Who are you, Brihadnala, my dance teacher?" No, he said, "My dance, the dance teachers of the ladies." Arjuna said, "It's all right, you ask your mind who I am." And it was the last hour of the banishment. Arjuna was not breaking his vow that he would stay in undercover for a whole year. It was the last hour. And Arjuna had just calculated everything very carefully by looking at the sun, when he could finally go. So his problem was not to fight with his relatives. He had done it. The problem was Hare Krishna. The surrender. The surrender, that was the problem which Arjuna faced. So, every one of us, when it comes to a situation where we have to surrender to Lord Krishna, can't do it. We will shake. And it is because surrender to Krishna poses an extreme, let me say, threat to the conditioned nature of the conditioned soul. That's why in our Shastra, surrender is dealt in a very careful way, in a very tender way. To surrender to Krishna is not easy. Arjuna, as a personal associate of Lord Krishna, was showing how difficult surrender is. He was personally giving the example that for a soul with a body and a mind, the surrender is and remains a challenge. Therefore, my dear devotees, be a little bit patient sometimes. Don't be frustrated. Be frustrated if you can't surrender. But don't be so, but know what is going on. Know of the struggle which is there. It's a big struggle. It cannot be underestimated. Krishna himself, and I think this should help you and give you some happiness in your life, he's aware of this. And he loves his devotees anyways, even if they do something foolish. He says, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Prabhupada explains a verse from the Nrisimha Purana. The meaning is that even if one fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is sometimes found engaged in an abominable activities, These activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. Dear devotees, it would be a wrong interpretation to now think, okay, fine, I just don't have to endeavor. Let the wild horses of my senses and the monkey of my mind go wild. This is not the conclusion of a sincere devotee. Prabhupada says, no one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. So, let us try and please Krishna with our sincere attempts to serve him. And Krishna, who sees this sincerity in the devotee, he measures his devotees by this sincerity, that they want to try and try again, in some ways. Isn't this a wonderful concept? Even there's a little bird who has become attracted by this concept. He hides in the lamp at this moment, but he just came in. This concept is so wonderful. You can be sometimes you don't die from shame if you are not always super first class, but try to become gradually first class. This is a very important instruction, and so on. Try to find out the ways how you can be spiritually strong. I want to go now on a tour through Croatia, and I will give a lecture called The Spiritual Circle. It's a lecture meant to encourage all the Croatian people who come to our programs to start with their spiritual life and strengthen their own spiritual life. It's a very nice concept. Those of you who are interested in this concept of the spiritual circle can ask the devotees who can come to this lecture. I will always give the same public lecture in the places where newcomers come, and they can learn how to establish their own spiritual circle. This is a different subject, and I think in the festival you have had many opportunities to find out what you can do to become spiritually empowered. But the point of this lecture is shaking in the face of surrender. Let us end this lecture by hearing what Arjuna did to surrender. Any idea? Please, not those who have listened to this lecture before. What did Arjuna do? What helped him to surrender? I'm sorry? He listened to the Bhagavad Gita, which are the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, of Krishna. Yes? Amina has pointed out the right thing. I know it's a difficult question, but yes. After he had listened to the whole Bhagavad Gita, he said, my illusion is now gone. Krishna had asked, are you all right now? Or do you wish me to explain something again? Arjuna said with a smile, I am in bliss. My illusion is now gone, and I shall act Govinda as you have requested me for. And then he fought like anything. You know that it was not easy, but he did surrender, and so on. And there were such difficult moments in the Kurukshetra war. You can read in Mahabharata. Arjuna made them all. He was a fully surrendered soul. So this is also what will help us. By hearing about Krishna, we will solve our biggest problem, that is to accept Krishna. and his desires. This is our biggest problem. If we can accept Krishna and his desires, all problems solved. And then we will be able to practice with love and enthusiasm the purificatory processes of bhakti yoga. And then, for sure, we will come to the stage of apana, that is deep realization. Hearing leads us to accepting. Accepting leads us to a deep and dedicated spiritual practice, which is so powerful that it is compared to a river which washes all the dirt away from our heart. And then, no problem, we will be full of apana, that means bhava for Krishna, love for Krishna. That's left when maya is gone, love is left. Love for Krishna, love for God. And then we will come into prema, thickened love for Krishna. Very good. So I want to thank you very, very much for listening to this class on surrender. I will summarize it for you, and then I will say something very important. My summary is like this. We are conditioned souls, and our conditioned nature, the mind and the senses, will sometimes pull us away from Krishna consciousness. This is natural. And so on, and we will be in rebellion and puberty against Guru and Krishna. It is to be expected, as unfortunate and embarrassing it may be sometimes. We should know about this, and we should know what to do, so that we can come to the platform where we are free from the misery of material life. We should learn to listen patiently more and more and more about Krishna. We should start to accept those things which are relevant for us in our lives and go in our committed spiritual practice. And then Krishna will surely come and help. The best example is Bilva Mangala Thakur. But that's a whole other story. He is the best example. You remember, Bilva Mangala Thakur was so attached to sense gratification, but he wanted Krishna. And then finally, at his age, finally, when even he became a monk to go to Vrindavan, he became what we would say a bhakta, going to the temple. But on the way to the temple, on the way to Vrindavan, on the way to perfection, he again wanted to break the regulated principles and enjoy his senses with a very pious lady even. It will make you cry if you hear the story in great detail. Finally he understood, no, I can't do this any longer. And he took the needles of the lady who was ready herself for sense enjoyment. These eyes are always cheating me. Mother, give me your blessing. I need to go to Vrindavan now. Then Vibha Mangala Thakur went to Vrindavan. And after some time he heard the voice of a boy. Baba, Baba. Yes. Where are you going? Vrindavan Jaiki. I'm going to Vrindavan. Oh, I'm also going to Vrindavan, said the boy. I can guide you. Finally in Vrindavan, then the boy always brought milk to the Mangala Thakur and asked him one day, who are you? Don't ask this question, Baba. Don't ask this question. I'm a coward boy. Who are you? Show me your form. But Baba, you cannot tolerate seeing my form. Anyway, show it. At that time, Krishna revealed himself to Bilva Mangala Thakur. Bilva Mangala Thakur was lost in an ocean of love. And Krishna said, do you have any desire? Yes, I wish to see your Leela with Srimati Radharani and your most beloved devotees. Krishna also showed him. Guru Mangalata, it was so strong, could only be a few more days in his body. And then Krishna came, gave him the spiritual form, transcendental Swarupa, and took him with him to the eternal Vrindavan, back home. Yes, this is Krishna is doing this. He sees his devotee struggling, like Bilva Mangala Thakur had struggled, but he's so pleased. And if the devotee just takes the simple formula of continuing to hear about Krishna, accepting things in Krishna consciousness and doing a deep spiritual practice, Krishna will surely help. He has promised this. Yes, he has promised this, that he helps his devotees. He will keep his promise. Hare Krishna. Good. Now I want to end this class. I will not take any questions because the subject is crystal clear for those who wish to see. I want to say a big thank you. My first big thank you goes to the devotees who did these wonderful cultural programs. I come from a family where I need culture to live. During the Aravyasa Puja ceremonies, we tried, the devotees tried, and they did something wonderful, like dances here and so on. But for the first time, we again saw a theater play, which was intriguing and fascinating. So I want to thank Golgadatta and his dedicated theater crew for putting up that wonderful theater play, which was so mind-stimulating and so nicely done and so on. That's a very, very nice presentation. Thank you very much. And I want to also thank the Golden Voices in our Transcendental Family. I want to thank Goran for putting on such a nice concert, which was so sensitive, which was befitting the occasion. I know for an entertainment, the art is to assess this audience and know what they need to become inspired. Singer is really the servant of, it was very nice, there's so much feeling. Here, see, I will quote from this text. After the gold rush time, I'm standing all alone. Wonderful opening of a song. Losing everything I have, still I'm on my own. I need a place to go. I need someone who knows all the answers to my lonely soul. So I will search for another way to find some peace of mind. Then Krishna Jivani, thinking of the past behind and measuring my feelings inside, I'm breaking at the point where lie defies the truth. I have been mistreated. I've been so confused, and I have seen much trouble go my way. But still I stand beyond the tears, wondering which way to go. Such good lyrics even. It's like the up and down, the ebb and the tide of the sea. That's how I feel about this life I live. The promises of future, the lies of yet, and so on. And then he says, then the song says, on my way I found Hare Krishna, this I'm only a servant. I found a humble, insignificant servant. He showed me God. He gave me faith. And now I praise this humble, insignificant person who blessed me with spiritual grace. Yes, he is a believer. So I'm a believer. He is a believer and a lover of God. A small soul who tries hard. And so I'm feeling a little embarrassed. I can't say these things, but thank you very much. I appreciate your nice feeling. It's like the wonderful magical dream. New life is given to me. Wonderful. Yes. that's nice. We all fly this, no, we all fight this war together. This is not for the audience. Carry on by faith. Though we see dark clouds are coming, we are not afraid. Ha ha, very good. Still, we are learning how to fly, for our hopes are last to die. Because we know that we shall be released in his shelter, in his shelter. This is big, it means Krishna shell. And it's all the letters up here. So, yes, thank you very much, and also Krishna Jivani. You have fascinated us. I have not heard your voice in this way, that this is a very nice melodic voice, with a sometimes high, sometimes down, sometimes woo-hoo, when it was necessary. Very good. Thank you very much, and also the singers, and also our Gadadha, who, like a leaf in the wind, was doing this nice kirtan. The end, I want to thank all of you very, very much for this nice presentation. We could see Lord Nityananda, I think, was a little satisfied by our sincere endeavors to satisfy him. He was sending such nice people who also got the milas, the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who, you know, they're just sitting 2 hours going to the non-yakya. And, you know, then all of a sudden they're dancing, and then their own Bhakta Gauran was coming on the stage. Very good. I was thinking, wow, this is interesting. I can assure you, from a preacher's point of view, we have put some deep samskaras in the conditioned soul's heart, and I hope also in our own hearts. Okay, so I wish you a very nice journey back to where you go, and hope back to Godhead eventually. And I know some of you I will still see, because you live in Croatia. Thank you once again very much. I was extremely happy on this festival. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gauri Kai ki jai, Sisi Radha Kunya Vihari ki jai, Sri Lakshmi Nrisimha Deva ki jai, Gopinath Hari Bol.